Blog Talk Radio.
The Franciscan Friars of the Atonement present the Ave Maria Hour.
Hello, this is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant, share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
The Seventh and Tenth Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods.
It was all in the papers today. The whole story about Benson, it was all there. And somehow, out of the whole sordid account, one word lighted up for me like a neon sign. One word started me thinking back. But I wasn't thinking about Benson. I was thinking about myself. I remembered how, in a sudden and terrible way, I'd learned the meaning of that word, corruption. Maybe I always thought it couldn't happen to me, or maybe I didn't think about it at all. Things like that happened in Washington or New York, or any place that was far away from me. But then suddenly, No, there's nothing sudden about corruption. Looking back now, the whole thing seems so clear, even the way it began, with the little things. Little things that Julia or the kids would say.
But, Pops, I need it. Honest, I need it, and everybody has one.
Daddy, I'm not asking for something unusual or extravagant. It's something I really need.
We'll manage, Tom, somehow. But if we just didn't have to count every cent...
Sure, I know what you're thinking. 100 guys have more to worry about every day. Well, let's put it this way. If you've got one good big problem to face, you stand up and meet it square. But it's the little things that nag and gnaw and bore away into the very structure of your life. It's that grinding sense of needing.
We just don't seem to be able to save, Tom. And goodness, it isn't as if we were extravagant.
And then your thoughts begin pushing around inside your head in a mixture of envy and fear and discontentment until the day when one thought pushes all the rest. Money. There's got to be more money. When that day comes, well, this is how it came to us.
Pops! Hey, Pops!
Dave, I'm late. Do you want me to miss the 8-3?
A cap with a wizard on it, Pops.
Here, hold the paper while I get my coat.
Everyone's got a cap with a wizard, Pops.
Stop calling me Pops.
But can
you can have a cap with a silencer.
But I want one.
Now, Dave, don't bother Daddy. He's in a hurry.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Give me the paper.
Catch.
Oh, that boy.
I'll open the door for you, Daddy.
Oh, thanks, Anne. Well, move aside, dear. You're not made of air.
Daddy, I'd like $7.73.
So would I. Now move aside,
no,
dear.
No, Daddy,
and please. All right, what's on your mind?
Well, last year you said I couldn't have a school sweater because we couldn't afford it.
Well, money's even scarcer this year.
Yeah, but, Daddy, I'm a freshman now, a freshman in high school, and everyone, simply everyone, has a school sweater. No one likes to be different.
Sure, sure. $7.
And 73 cents.
Too much money.
But the cap with the wizard only costs...
Listen, if anyone needs a wizard, I do. Only a wizard could find money enough for this family. No one needs anything. No caps or sweaters. That's final.
Sweaters? Nuts. If I had a cap with a wizard...
And what the dickens is a cap with a wizard?
You mean something that whizzes. You know, something goes around on the top of your head.
Just what we need around here. Something else to whiz around our heads.
Tom? Tom, you'll miss your train.
Oh, for the love of... I have missed it.
Well, as long as you have, I'd like to... Anne, your lunch is ready on the kitchen table.
All right, Mother, I'll go.
Julia, it's almost...
This won't take a minute. I'll just close the door again. Tom, have you decided about the annuity money?
It's not due yet.
But it's due soon.
I know, but
we have to think ahead. Maybe today you could find out what the bonds are worth. Maybe we should sell...
Maybe I should go look under a rock and find some gold. Maybe I should... Oh, Julia, don't look as if we'd lost the old homestead.
Sorry, hon, it's just...
Sure, sure, I know. And when I look around at our carefree neighbors, a new car in the Frazee's garage, a color TV set in the Scanlon's living room, and no questions asked...
But we don't want a new car or color television.
But we'd hardly object to a little extra money floating in from nowhere.
Oh, Tom.
We're so darn honest.
And aren't we glad of it?
Are we? Maybe I'm just waiting for the right moment.
Oh, hon, I'm ashamed. I've started your day off all wrong.
Oh, what's the use?
Tom, I was wondering how much I have in my button bank.
3 cents and 30 buttons. Look, I gotta go.
Well, every penny counts nowadays.
Sure.
If I had a cap with a wizard...
Oh, here comes the wizard. This is where I came in. Goodbye.
But, Tom... What a man my pop is. What a man. Now, Mom, if I had a cap with a wizard, well, I...
Try to put yourself in my place. You're just keeping your head above water. And on this particular morning, the water's pretty deep. You're worried, you're irritated, and all the little nagging things are pushing away inside. You feel as if... Well, as if something's got to happen. And something does. You've missed the 8-3, and on the 8-19... Benson happens. Arthur Macaulay Benson.
Stover, Tom Stover. I don't usually see you on this train.
He's a big guy. Successful. Important. His orders cross your desk to the tune of $100,000 a year.
Tom, this is a pleasant surprise.
He not only sits down, but he's calling you by your first name. You're flattered. Fact is, you're bowled over. You lap up every word he says. And oddly enough, he listens to you. You're only a small guy compared to Benson, but he gives you his undivided attention. You never had a chance before to know what a good guy he really is.
Why, a young man with a family like you, Tom, it's absurd for you to pay an income tax that size.
You begin to think, if I had someone like this to advise me, and then you find out, advice is just what he wants to give.
Now, you arrange to come along to my office this week, and we'll see about that tax. You'll find out, my boy, if you keep your eyes open to all the little... Well, shall we say, the little ways and means. Nothing dishonest, naturally. I'd be the first to criticize dishonesty.
Dishonest? Benson, dishonest? Are you kidding? This guy's got an A1 reputation. You're in luck, boy. With every click of the wheels on the 819, you're saying, boy, am I in luck. Looking back now, I remember feeling that in some way I'd impressed Benson. I sure must have measured up after he got to know me. What else? Why else would he give me little tips on surefire stocks, put me wise to a lot of things I'd never have otherwise known? Sure, I must have impressed him. Only, oddly enough, Julia didn't think so.
Goodness, Tom, It isn't as if I didn't want you to have more money.
Look, Julia, if I can earn...
But that's it. You're not earning it. Why has Mr. Benson...
Why can't you understand? Here's a generous, considerate guy who treats me like his own son.
Well, I don't know. But when you put it that way...
After all, I'm the key man in supplies. If I can do a favor for Benson, see that he gets something that's hard to get... Well, look, he's got the money to pay for it.
Favors? But you never said that before.
Because you're so darn picayune about everything. You're so scrupulous. Look at the Frazees. Look at what they've got.
I do look at them, Tom. I look at Carol Frazee every Sunday in church. She's got a $65 hat right out of the French room and a Russian broadtail coat. And when she kneels alone after Mass in the grotto of Our Lady of Lourdes, the tears run down her cheeks. Carol has a French hat, and Jim Frazee has a custom-built car.
What have we got?
We've got peace of mind.
Ha! That's a laugh. Peace of mind. Worrying about every dinky little bill that comes in, that's peace of mind?
Tom, listen.
I'm through listening. All I want is a little extra dough, and that's what I'm going to have. But it wasn't long before a little money seemed too little. And I got to asking Benson for tips instead of waiting for him to come across. And then, well, I guess the ground was all set for what happened next.
Tom, I have a proposition you might be interested in. Not pin money, take it from me. I think you're capable of working with me on it. Of course, it'll take some clever thinking. Needs a shrewd man at your end. But I think you can handle it. You know, boy, I'd say this is the opportunity of a lifetime.
I walked home from the train that night, saying to myself, why not? I said it aloud over and over again, aware of a throbbing in my throat and a tingling in my body. And I said it again, why not?
I'll tell you why not, because it isn't honest. That's why not.
Benson says the whole thing is absolutely within the law.
What a shabby expression. Within the law.
What's wrong with it?
Do you have to hunt around to find things that just escape being illegal? It's all wrong. It's stealing.
Are you accusing me of wanting to be a thief?
Wanting to? Certainly not, but...
But, the great big but. I'd never have told you a word about this if Benson hadn't asked for you to be a co-signer. Julia, there's nothing in this deal that will hurt a soul. It can't be wrong when it doesn't hurt anyone.
Tom, why do you want so much money?
After the way we've scrimped...
I want things as much as you do.
Then why? We both want things for the kids.
But money is not that important. We can't let it be that important. If we were to die tomorrow, what would it matter? Only our souls would matter.
Sure, I know. You can't take it with you. I've heard that before, and I've had enough sermons. Say, how long have you been at that door?
Dave!
Come in here.
Uh-huh. I'm coming.
I said, how long were you there?
Hmm? Not long. Not long.
Long enough to hear things that don't concern you.
Mom... You want to go over my homework with me now? I'm ready.
Oh, well, dear, I'm busy right now.
Not with me, Julia. I'm finished. Benson comes back to town tomorrow night. I'll give him my answer then. I know exactly what I'm doing.
I hope you do, Tom. I hope you do.
Everything should have been all right. Everything should have been fine. I was waiting for the chance of a year, but somehow... The next night, I was jittery, edgy, waiting for Benson to call. I went upstairs to the den and lay down on the couch in the dark. Pretty soon, Julia came up to Dave's room across the hall, and they began the usual business of going over homework. Then, all of a sudden, Dave's voice broke out in a shrill, protesting sound.
But I know it! I know my catechism!
Dave, not so loud!
But I do know my catechism! No one has to hear me!
You know it, that's fine. Where's the book?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
Dave, there's the corner of the book sticking right out from under your school bag.
It is? Is it?
It is. Hand it over. Now, what page for tomorrow?
I think it's 38. I think it is. I think it's 38.
38. Oh, the seventh commandment. Well, let's start. What is the seventh commandment?
Thou shalt not steal.
Not so fast, dear. Think about it while you answer. Now, what are we commanded by the seventh commandment?
We are commanded...
to respect?
Mm-hmm.
Dave, you don't know it at all. We are commanded by the seventh commandment to respect what belongs to others. Now, you tell me.
Mom, what does it mean? You always tell me easy, like...
Well, it's like this. If you destroy something that belongs to someone else, or if you take something that really belongs to someone else, you're really hurting God, aren't you? You don't show him that you love him, do you? Do you, Dave?
But I do love God.
Of course you do, dear.
But I... Mom, I took it and it wasn't mine and I'm sorry. Oh, Mom, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh, Dave. Dave, dear.
Oh, Mom.
Oh, now, Dave. You said two very important words, dear. You said, I'm sorry. Now, whatever you've done, if you're sorry, God will forgive you.
Yes, Mom. Nobody needed it.
Dave, are you talking about the money in my button bag?
Oh, no. You needed that. I heard you say so.
But what...
Pop said if someone didn't need something, it was all right to use it.
Dave, your father never said that.
Oh, yes, Mom. Once he did. And Joey had two caps. His uncle brought him one, and his grandmother gave him the other one. He didn't need two, Mom, so when I left his house, I took one, Mom. But after I got home, I didn't want it. It wasn't fun to play with the wizard
wasn't really yours, and you didn't have any right to it.
That's right, Mom.
And you wished you could take it back, but that would be hard because you'd have to explain to Joey.
You know everything, Mom.
Well, I've lived a long time, dear.
So has Pops, but he doesn't know everything.
Dave.
Well, Pop said if you didn't hurt anyone, it was all right, but...
Dave, you'll never learn anything by listening at doors. Now, I'll explain what Daddy meant. You see, even though Joey didn't need two caps, he owned them both. Now, what was in the catechism?
To respect what belongs to others.
Exactly. So if you take something that doesn't belong to you, you're hurting yourself. You're hurting your soul. Because God has told us to obey the commandments.
Does Pops think about his soul?
He certainly does.
Mom?
Dave, close the door. We'll disturb Anne. She's studying.
Hmm? But Joey had two caps.
I know. But they both belong to Joey.
Yeah.
Dear, will you close the door now?
Okay, Mommy.
After the door closed, everything was so quiet that I imagined I heard someone breathing close by. I switched on the lamp.
I'm here, Daddy.
What are you doing here?
Just what you were doing, Daddy. Listening.
Well, he's only a kid. Kids make mistakes.
A lot of people make mistakes.
What are you turning up?
My mistake. The article I was going to give into the Eagle.
The Eagle?
School paper. You wouldn't know, Daddy. You're not interested anymore in me or my school.
Anne, what's wrong with you?
Took my little brother to show me I was wrong. I was going to hand in an article I copied right out of a book.
Pass off something as your own? Anne, why?
Because... Because I felt sorry for myself. Like you, Daddy. You're always feeling sorry for yourself because you have to watch every penny. Well, I wanted all the things other girls have. Ballet slippers, tickets for the concert, and a sweater. More than anything in this world, I wanted that sweater. And when I couldn't have it, I just tried to think of ways to get one. I suppose that was breaking a commandment, too. Coveting something. The 10th commandment. But then I remembered what you said.
What? What I said?
Something doesn't hurt anyone. Well, why worry about it? Look around at everyone else. Nowadays, anything goes.
Oh, God.
You didn't think about God, did we, Daddy? All I wanted was to do something that would make me important, like having a very good article in the paper. Daddy, Mother said, you mustn't hurt God. You must love God. I just forgot about God for a little while. Oh, Daddy.
And listen. God hasn't forgotten us. We've been walking on the edge of a precipice. And like you say, maybe it was forgetting about the 10th commandment that pushed us in that direction. But here we are. God reached out and pulled us back, didn't he?
Yes, I guess.
No guessing about it. You see, we sometimes forget about God. But don't think he ever forgets about us. Not for a second. Now, if we remember what your mother said, tell him we're sorry.
Oh, Daddy, I am sorry.
And I'll bet you could write a much better article for the Eagle if you tried all on your own.
You think so?
Certainly. You're a very bright girl. I've always thought so.
Yeah?
I have, and I do, and...
The
phone.
Shall I answer?
No. I've been waiting for this call, dear. I expected it earlier. But I guess God times things pretty well. Give me a kiss before I go downstairs.
Daddy, the phone.
Forget the phone. Where's the kiss?
You haven't asked me for a kiss in ages. You know, you go out every morning without ever kissing Mother or me.
Not anymore, honey. There.
Daddy, the phone stopped.
I know, dear. But he'll call again. And next time, I'll be all ready to answer. And go call your mother. I think maybe she'd like to be with me when I answer the phone. Well, it was all in the papers today. The whole story about Benson's rackets. And out of the whole sordid account, one word lighted up for me like a neon sign. One word. Corruption. So I got the dictionary down from the shelf, and Julia looked it up.
Corruption. It's made up of two parts. The first part means destroyed, and the second part means to break into pieces. It's what almost happened to us, isn't it, Tom?
But I hardly heard what she said, because I was thinking back. To be destroyed. And for what? What doth it profit a man if he gain the world and suffer the loss of his soul? Oh, God. Let me say that every day of my life. What doth it profit a man if he gain the world and suffer the loss of his own soul?
to thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour, brought to you by the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. For over 110 years, the Friars have devoted themselves to fulfilling St. Francis' prayer, to heal wounds, to unite what has fallen apart, and bring home those who have lost their way. We work for Christian unity and interreligious understanding. We provide respite at our retreat center at Greymoor for those in need of spiritual renewal. We staff parishes throughout the world, serve as chaplains for colleges, hospitals, and prisons. We care for the ill through hospice work, ministry to those with HIV/AIDS. We also shelter the homeless and provide treatment and services for those suffering from alcoholism and drug addiction. If you would like to be included in our prayer list, participate in special St. Anthony Novenas, and or visit St. Anthony's Shrine, Greymoor, attend a retreat, learn more about our Ave Maria Hour productions, or simply make a donation to assist us in fulfilling St. Francis' prayer to help those in need, please visit our website at atonementfriars.org or email me at avemaria@atonementfriars.org. You can write to me, Father Bob, Friars of the Atonement, Greymoor, Post Office Box 300, Garrison, New York, 10524. And so, in closing, I ask for the blessing of God upon you and those you love. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may he look upon you with kindness and give you his peace. Amen.